So it is hard to imagine a world in which people feel pressure to keep up their profits, feel pressure to keep up their standard of living, feel pressure to do all the things they had taken for granted and to live as well as their neighbors in the face of global uncertainty, and to then turn that into exploitation of an easily accessible labor pool. I know we can't imagine such a world in which the rich feel persecuted as the poor get poorer and starve. I know this is a difficult world to imagine, but this is the world of 9th century Israel, 8th century Israel. This is the world that they lived in, one of uncertainty. And you see in this argument, this mock argument that the prophet presents us, the people, in this case, the people with a lot of money, and that's easy to see by what they're offering, say, what do we need to do to please you, God? We see uncertainty all around us. We just want to please you, and our life seems to be crumbling. Our kingdom is crumbling around us. Assyria is on the march. Israel in the north has been overrun or is about to be overrun. What do we need to do to please you? What do we need to do? Shall I come before you with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What is it you demand of us, God, that we may get out of our present unhappiness? And this is the question that Micah is ridiculing in this passage, because Micah certainly thinks these questions are ridiculous, and we know that because of the ridiculous numbers, tens of thousands of rivers of oil, thousands of rams, my firstborn son. Because for Micah, the answer is easy. But first, let us look at the words of the Lord here. Plead your case before the mountains. What we are seeing in this passage is that people are unhappy with God. People thought that they were going to secure forever in Israel, in Judah, and they are unhappy with God. And God is coming back saying, plead your case. Why are you unhappy with me? What is the story you are telling yourself about how we got here today? What is it that you are complaining about? Here is the story that God is telling to you. You were in Israel. You were out of Israel, in Egypt, in slavery. And I, your God, brought you out of Egypt. I, your God, made a covenant with you on Sinai, saying that I was to be your God and you were to be my people. And when the false prophet Balaam was bribed by Balak to curse you, I made Balaam's mouth speak only praise of you, shaving you so that you could inhabit this kingdom. I am your God, and I saved you. And now your problem is with me? I sent you leaders. I sent you prophets. I brought you out of the wilderness into a land of plenty. And God is saying here, what did you do with that gift that I gave you? What did you do with it? You exploited the migrant in your midst. You exploited the widows and the orphans. You underpaid your workers and overcharged your customers. And this gave you money that you thought would buy my grace. And now you see the world coming down around you, and you seek to buy my grace yet again. But you people who are coming and complaining to God have so lost touch with what it means to worship God that you have mistaken these symbols that you offered up, these offerings which are contracted, yes, in our covenant for you to give me, but you misunderstand them. Micah says. You misunderstand them. The offering is not the contract. The offering is the symbol. The offering is the reminder that you are obligated to God. And what happens with the offerings after you make them? Because in ancient Israel, a very simple thing happened. You burned the offerings on the altar, and then you had a bunch of cooked meat. Well, gods can't eat cooked meat. Gods enjoy the smells from the altar. And so you had to find some place to put the meat. And that was into the bellies of people who were hungry. It was into the stomachs of the priests who had no incomes. So these offerings were a symbolic offering to God, were a reminder of our obligations to one another and to God. And here in Micah, we have people thinking that it is a bribe to God. But that's not what these gifts are. These gifts are reminders of the simpleness of the covenant with God. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. He has told you. You are asking now, you are making up these aggrieved demands, putting them into the God, into the Lord's mouth. But the Lord has told you. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And that last part is a stumbling block to these people in ancient Israel. In ancient Judah, this last part of walking humbly with your God, they think they can make demands of God. They think they can make demands and make bribes and make things go the way they want to with these symbols. But that's not the way God works. And that's what Micah is saying right now. Micah is reminding us that the covenant we have with God is one in which we are obligated to God and to our neighbors. It is the definition of a community that God has done for us. God has said, you will be my people. You are defined by the fact that you are my people bound together in love of me and my love of you. You as a community are with me. You are my people. God did not say, you are my person, you offering things on the altar. He did not say that. God did not say that. God said, you are my people. And what had happened here was that people had forgotten. It's easy to do in times of plenty to forget that there are obligations that go both ways. You get caught up in the fact that everyone gets fed, and you lose touch with the people who are on the fringes. And then, when things aren't so good, suddenly the people on the margins are hungry and starving. And suddenly people on the margins are asking for things again because they cannot get through the week any longer. And that's the time when the people who have a lot feel besieged because they forgot that the way this money came to them, the way this food came to them, frequently was by someone else's hand. That no one person who's accumulated a lot of wealth and a lot of money and a lot of food has done it on their own. And this is the reminder that Micah gives to us, that in times of need, we all must share what we have because it is all of our hands working together that gave us plenty. And it is a lesson that today, as much as in Israel's time, we sometimes forget. We read about people in the paper complaining about the persecution of the rich, much like the persecution of the Jews in Germany. And you look around and say, you who are also bragging about having a six-pack of Rolexes, are you sure that's the comparison you want to be making right now? Because that doesn't really sound like the same kind of persecution. You were saying, please don't be mean to me. I, you have a lot. All you people who have very little, please don't be mean to me. It's the same thing as being truly persecuted. And that was in the news this week. But it's a reminder that what causes this, what causes this thing that happened in Micah's time, and that thing that's happening right now, is the lack of contact with one another. That we forget what we are to do is to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly and wisely and carefully with God, reminding ourselves that we are obligated to one another as much as we are obligated to God. Reminding ourselves that we can reach out to another person and say, I love you, and what is going on in your life. And that we can reach out to people who are not like us, who have a different relationship with us than the people we grew up with and that we are thrust into in our jobs and in our neighborhoods. And we can be reminded that loving kindness is not just loving kindness of people who are like us, but the way the community works and the way that obligation works is for us to reach out to the people we would not see otherwise. And yes, to be kind to them. And yes, to recognize, in Cornel West's words, that justice is love in action. In this time and in this place, hear the words of Micah. Look around you into Ankeny, into Des Moines, into the rest of Iowa, into the entire world and say, who are the people that my life exploits? What are their stories? What is their understanding of God's life, of God's action in their life? What is their understanding of me? How can I understand them better so that I may love them and walk humbly with them as much as I do with the people around me? Because this is the reminder that God gives us through the words of the prophet Micah. We only get in the situation of not knowing what will please God, what will please other people, by not understanding what the world looks like from their point of view. It is much easier to have a dialogue in which actual communication happens when you know the meaning of the words someone else is uttering. And in the case of the time of ancient Israel, it was the cry of the dispossessed saying, "We are starving. And we need food." And to the ears of the rich, it sounded like, "You are evil and should be defeated." And in that gap was God's sorrow. Because today there are people crying out saying, "I am lonely," saying, "I am hungry," saying, "I am cold." But those aren't the words that they use. And unless we can talk to them, we won't know what their words mean. And so God reminds us today, as Micah reminded the people in ancient Judah and Israel, God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Amen.